We're going to eliminate all of the loopholes.
People in both parties have said that we should eliminate the carried interest loophole.
That do not grow businesses or create jobs.
I have called for the ending of that loophole since 2007.
A bunch of American political voices there, mostly Democrats, but Donald Trump too, all for getting rid of something called the carried interest loophole. Now, the carried interest loophole works like this. Money managers and hedge fund operators make money on businesses they buy and sell, but that income isn't taxed at the regular income tax rate that everyone else pays. It's taxed at a much lower rate. So for years, Wall Street hedge fund managers have been driving right through that loophole and taking billions in untaxed income with them. The loopholes become pretty unpopular, mostly with Democrats. But one of the things that traditional Republicans hate about Donald Trump is that he, too, is for closing the carried interest loophole. Now, that's a tax increase and therefore a Republican heresy. According to Alec McGillis, politics and government reporter for ProPublica, the carried interest loophole has a long history in this country, going back to the 20s and 30s, when Congress thought the oil and gas industry needed encouragement to take big risks.
It started in the oil and gas industry, and there was sort of the logic to it back then, because you'd have these oil and gas guys going out, you know, on the frontier in Texas and Oklahoma and taking on considerable risk in exploring for oil. And the way it would work is that you'd have a team of guys, a partnership, and some guys would put up the money and some guys would just do the actual work. When it came time to sell out, if they were successful, they would all get taxed on their gains at the capital gains rate instead of at the higher ordinary income rate, on the logic that even the guys who hadn't put in any of their own money and were doing the work had also put something at risk. They'd put their labor at risk, their time at risk. What's happened over the years is that it's come to be applied to other industries, including venture capital, real estate, but especially private equity. And as time has gone on, it's gotten harder to justify, partly because there's just much less risk involved in what these private equity managers are doing. They're getting paid no matter what. They're getting a fee, a 2% fee on the assets under management. At the same time, there's also less of a sort of entrepreneurship to it. Private equity does not involve starting new companies. It generally involves buying existing companies and shaping them up in various ways and then reselling them for a big profit. So there's less of that sort of entrepreneurial risk involved. And then finally, it's become harder to justify because the sums that we're talking about are just so vast. This is not just like scrappy guys out on the frontier anymore. These are guys who are the very, very, very highest paid people in the country who are paying just this extraordinarily low rate on their income.
So you write about a very rich and very well-connected man named David Rubenstein. Who is he and what role has he played in keeping the carried interest loophole alive?
David Rubenstein's a very interesting figure. He's one of the biggest guys in the private equity industry. He started out, he grew up in Baltimore, working class in Baltimore, went into the Carter White House, was sort of, you know, a young liberal staffer in the Carter White House in the 70s. But then in the 80s, he got into business and he co-founded what became a huge private equity firm called the Carlyle Group, which was very unusual in that it was based in Washington, not in New York. And its whole strategy was to capitalize on Washington connections. They hired a lot of people who had worked in government and were able to help them get good deals on companies, especially companies in the military industrial complex. They became very, very successful. David Rubenstein is now worth somewhere around $2.6 billion. He's been very pivotal in protecting this loophole, partly because he has ties to the Democrats. One of the real keys in protecting this loophole has been not just to line up Republican opposition, which is not that difficult because Republicans are generally against raising taxes and more protective of Wall Street. But the key has also been to get a few Democrats on board and protecting it as well. And Rubenstein's been crucial in that.
Well, when President Obama came into office, he had his eyes on the carried interest loophole and all of the billions that the federal coffers could get if Democrats could close it. So who were some of the Democrats that David Rubenstein enlisted on his side to prevent this from happening?
There were several key people. One was definitely Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, who was in this sort of tricky position where on the one hand, he recognized how basically unfair this tax treatment was. And, you know, he very much wants to eventually lead the Senate Democrats and knows that most people in his party, you know, are opposed to this loophole. But at the same time, of course, he represents Wall Street. And he had a lot of his big supporters in Wall Street saying, we want this to remain as it is. And so he over and over again walked a very fine line where he was not outright explicitly protecting the loophole, but managing to sort of string things along just enough to keep the status quo in place.
And what about the other senator from New York at the time, a senator named Hillary Rodham Clinton?
Yes. So when this first really came up as an issue that for possible reform, it was in 2007, Hillary Clinton was still senator then. She was rhetorically in favor of closing the loophole. However, she at that time did not sign on to the legislation to do so, unlike another senator, Barack Obama, who did sign on, actually put his name to that legislation. So she's also been in a somewhat ambivalent role over the years on this.
And where does she come down now? And I want to talk about the other candidates, too, because we are at a political point, Alec MacGillis, when Wall Street is not only incredibly unpopular, but the gaze of the country is on Wall Street and its behavior. And that includes preferential tax treatment, things like the carried interest loophole. It would seem that whoever's elected, even if they're a Republican in 2017, as soon as they get into office, there's going to be some pressure from a newly empowered populist public to do away with things like this.
One would certainly think so. Across the board now, it's quite remarkable in this campaign. Do you have candidates talking about attacking this very loophole? Hillary Clinton's been more outspoken about it than she has in the past. Bernie Sanders, of course. But then even on the Republican side, Donald Trump, in his sort of populist mode, has taken it on very explicitly. Even Jeb Bush, when he was still running, he himself was working in private equity a couple of years ago, and he came out for closing it. At the same time, it's quite possible that it's going to survive another couple of years, because it's just gotten so hard to get things done in Washington.
A tax loophole once intended to get investors to build risky things, now a multi-billion dollar annual tax loophole for the very richest on Wall Street. Alec MacGillis, politics and government reporter at ProPublica. Thanks so much.
Thank you.